Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Greetings and welcome. We're so glad to have everyone join us tonight on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're excited as we have a host of guests and panel, and we look forward to you joining us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join us with devotion? We'll have Mark Bryant sing a song for us. The scripture will be read by Dr. James Nooks and the prayer by Lester Carver.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you again for coming to Your Place Christian Church. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us where God is exalted and the word is explained. Today we'll be simply singing, I love you, I love you, Lord. I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way, that's why I praise you, I lift you up, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, oh, my mind, and my soul belong to you. You paid the price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with. That's why my heart is filled with. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Amen. Our text is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other.
Lester Carver. I'll go ahead and offer today's prayer. I think he's on mute and he can't hear. Now we come before you and we ask such a blessing that you be with us tonight and that you continue to open our eyes and our learning and exalt, that you would be exalted in the midst of all that we learn, say, and that we do. Help us to fully understand a method that you have for dating love and godly relationships. We honor you and glorify you and trust, Lord, that you will lead and guide us into your understanding. We ask these blessings in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We are so glad that you are joined with us tonight as we are on the Bible study. And tonight we're talking about dating, love, and godly relationships. And basically what we're going to talk about this whole month is how do we respect our God as we date God's sons and daughters. And this is a question that people have been talking to us about for a long time and requested. So even though we may not have a lot of people in the studio tonight, we ask that you feel free to call in and to participate in this dialogue. The call-in number is 646-478-4932. We'd like to welcome tonight our panelists, and we have Victor Muse, Patrick Murphy, Byron Singleton, Tyrone Cornelius, Charles Calamese, and Ardell Bell. And so I'm going to let them introduce themselves starting. I think I'm going to start with Byron Singleton. Byron, would you introduce yourself first?
Yes, my name is Byron Singleton, and I'm a chaplain at the VA hospital in Alexandria, Louisiana. I have been an ordained minister in the Disciples of Christ since 1995, and I've pastored in several states and also done chaplain ministry in Washington State, Nebraska, and now in Louisiana.
Amen, amen. Who would like to go next? Victor.
Yes. I am Victor Muse. I am member of In the Spirit Christian Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm also an assistant instructor of speech and debate team for Tulsa Community College, and also a business owner. I've been also a pastor. My father's a pastor in the Church of God in Christ.
Amen. Amen. And Mr. Ardell Bell.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Sure, we hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for allowing me to share. Yes, my name is Ardell Bell. I live in the wonderful state of Indianapolis, in the city of Indianapolis, state of Indiana. My walk is pretty young with Christ, but yet I'm old in my demeanor. I go to New Life Worship Center here, a church run by Pastor John Ramsey. I also do some homeless shelter ministries along with doing prison work as well. And it's just really a privilege to be on the call. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Who else do we have on the line with us tonight? Lester Carver, and let's get a roll call. Who else is here with us? Dr. James Nooks, we know he's here. Mark Bryant, who else is with us? Is Charles Calamese here? Who else is on the line? Do we have Tyrone Cornelius that's come in, or Patrick Murphy?
We also have a Brian Warfield on the line.
Okay, and Brian Walker. Awesome, awesome. Brian, would you want to say what state you're from?
Say again.
What state are you from?
I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
All right. Praise God. We have people all over the country that are on the line tonight. And as we gather, I want to share a little bit about the type of etiquette we have to use in the studio, just because we want to make sure we can communicate with all of our friends and brothers and sisters in the audience tonight. For those of us who call in, please be mindful to not use a speakerphone because it distorts the sound in the audience. And for those of us who are on the line, if you would make sure that you don't have a speakerphone. And when you call in or when you talk, if you would please say, you know, this is Brian Singleton, or just Brian, this is what I say, you know, and then make your statements, or this is Dr. Susie, I perceive this. And that way we start to build a relationship and we know who's talking and learn the voices that we are dialoguing with. We're so excited tonight to get started with the topic, again, how do we respect our God as we date God's sons and daughters, basically dating, love, and godly relationship. So to kick us off, I wanted to read the first text and ask the first question. The text that we're going to talk about, the first question basically is, why do we date? And as you explain, the panel, as you explain why we date, would you then go back and reinforce after you've shared that, what's your biblical premise for dating? And who'd like to begin? I'll start.
This is Chaplain Byron from Alexandria, Louisiana. And why do we date? As I have grown up over the years, because I was raised in the Houston area, and part of my difficulty growing up was I was raised in a community where my family was quite large and very extended, and so there was not many opportunities for me to date someone because of the fact that everybody was family. And so I had a very lonely high school and young adult experience. And when I came into my relationship with God, what I discovered was that for me, dating was not my goal. I really wanted to find who God had ordained for my life, and so I didn't want to date. I wanted to court with the intent of walking down the altar toward marriage. And so as I began to journey with God, there were some passages that really kind of led me and guided me, and I looked at the passages out of Ephesians 5 and 21 through 33, which basically was the order of the Christian family, and then out of Colossians chapter 3. And then, of course, the one that had the most impact was 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about the unconditional love of God. Because as we walk with God and as we walk in that road towards what I'm going to call romantic love that leads to the marriage altar, that what I wanted to have was what God wanted me to have. And what that means for me is that I needed to step out of the way and truly try to discern what God was calling me toward and who God was moving me toward. Because prior to my salvation experience, you know, I flubbed and I flawed in my 20s and stuff, and recognized that what I was doing was not God's plan. And one of the things as I continued to walk in my relationship with God was I discovered this wonderful book that really identified where I was and how I lived theologically, and it was a book called Choosing God's Best by Dr. Don Bonnecker that really it resonated with me because of the fact that it talked about the issue of counterfeit oneness, which is dating versus courtship. Counterfeit oneness was about not having commitment, not having responsibility as you're in some type of romantic relationship, whereas with courting, the desire and the goal is to be with that individual that God has called you to live with, to love, to serve at the deepest level. And so for me, that's where I live and move and have my being when it comes to romance and relationship.
All right. But let's dialogue a little bit about what Byron has just said. Minister Byron has just said, Chaplain Byron. What do you prefer, Minister Byron or just Byron? Reverend Byron, what do you prefer?
Just Byron. Just Byron. I'm good.
Byron.
I'm not in the
Okay. All right. So who else is bold enough to dialogue with that? Mark, are you on the line?
Yes. I appreciate the minister's background, Mr. Byron's background and approach. And his true desire, and I understand it clearly, primarily because of his history, with so many family members, you know, with growing up in family, with his family members and not dating. My experience has been totally different, primarily because of growing up in a larger city, and which means the demographics are larger, the numbers of women are larger in size, in size and scope, meaning that their mindsets, what their intentions are, even though one may have an intention of dating to get married, their intention may not always be the case. And I think the first question that men in general think is, if I'm dating this person, the first question I want to find out, is she crazy? And you know, what is, you know, what about her family? What about her background? And is she really serious about what she wants? In most cases, as men, we're the ones that are not really serious. I think women, when they first meet you and they find that you have a job and that you can speak, you can put a sentence together, they're ready to get married then. And that really should not be the approach I think that women should take. But that's really what's in their mindset is, if I meet a nice guy, he's got a general amount going for him, oh, he's going to be my man. And we typically, as men, look at women, say, from a beauty aspect, oh, she looks nice, she's intelligent, I will date her. And if she in the timeline that I want to get married, then I get married. Or, you know, and that's typically how we as men think versus how women think. So Minister Byron is probably the exception among us as men who had a very true mindset to say, this is what I was looking for. And that's my total approach.
Who else wants to jump in and respond to that?
All right. This is Victor Muse, and in reference to the question, why do we date? I think we have to go back to Genesis and look at the creation of the world. And when we look at the creation of the world, and as God created all the animals, and has created the whole earth, and we look at the basic nature of God. When he created us, the scriptures declare in Genesis 1, chapter verse 25, that God created man and gave him dominion over the earth, and also commanded him that he would multiply himself there. And so as we look at that, we can see that one of the main goals of dating is that of connecting or finding a union so that, you know, we may, you know, multiply in the earth. And so, you know, that would be the main goal for us as Christians, which differ from a lot of people in the world who see dating just as an exercise or trying something out. But for Christians, the goal of dating is being that of marriage. And so as a Christian, I believe that that's why we do date.
Who wants to respond? It's a dialogue. Dr.
Hey, this is Ardo Bell, and I appreciate everything that everyone has been saying thus far. Like I said in the introduction, that my walk with Christ is very, very new. I never went to church before, so the understanding that I have today wasn't the understanding that I had before, you know, with this walk as a Christian. I think that as far as dating is concerned, in this modern day and time and how things have changed so much, I think it's pretty good why we date, because we want to get a chance to really get to know this individual whom we first start courting, but now we're dating, or vice versa, to make sure that we understand that our ultimate goal is for marriage. So, in my perspective, dating is pretty good. So, therefore, you can have an option on, okay, is this person right for me? Is this person the one whom God did present for me? Is this my rib? So I do thank you for allowing me to share this. My mind is so many different places. I do apologize. I'm doing a couple of different things right now. So I just wanted to kind of add my little two cents. Thanks.
This is Mark. One of the questions that I have is that as men, do we really have the first thing in our mind when we see a woman? Is our first thought, I want to marry that woman? Are we actually asking ourselves about marriage, or are we asking ourselves, hey, do I want to have sex with that woman, or do, you know, I find that woman attractive? What's our first real reaction when we see a woman? Because I know ultimately we all want to have that perfect mate that is our rib, that can be our the best support that we could ever imagine. But what's our first responses when we typically see a woman?
That's a very good question, Muse. And in answer to that question, I think the first thing that comes to mind when we see a woman, of course, mostly like woman or man, is you know, we have this thing called the law of attraction. And quite obviously, we're not attracted to everyone, but there are those instances where we find ourselves attracted to one female or another. Now, quite obviously, the first time we meet, you know, maybe marriage is not in the equation. But, you know, after that meeting a lot of criteria, I think marriage does become a question. And I think it's very applicable for us to, when we do meet someone, to have that question in the back of our mind, is this a suitable mate? So, number one, it's human nature for us to meet people and also to make friends. And just as the Bible declares for us to be friends, you must first show yourself friendly. And so I believe that law of attraction is the thing that really guides us. Now, Scripture does declare that it's God that works in us both to will and to do of a good pleasure. So as Christian men, God gives us this innate drive in our attraction to one particular female. And I believe that there's one particular female that God has set aside for us. And so I believe it has to deal with then the law of attraction.
This is Byron from Alexandria.
Go ahead, Byron.
I know that for me personally, as I have lived as a young adult and now in my mid range, when I first became a Christian in 1985 and began to seriously walk with God, you know, I had been praying for my significant other since I was 19 years old. You know, and I basically had this list. God, these are the types of things that I think I need/want in a relationship. You know, and as I meet people, you know, I kind of mentally check. I'm checking boxes. You know, okay, that box is checked, and this box is checked, and you know, when you get a significant number of boxes checked of things that you need and want and desire in that significant relationship, I think that's when, you know, we start really looking at, do I want to move this from being an acquaintance to a casual friendship? Do I want to move it now from a casual to a close friendship? And do I want to move that from a close friendship to intimacy? And I'm not talking about just physical intimacy, but I'm talking about emotional intimacy at its deepest level and spiritual intimacy. And so I know that for, you know, like I said, is with me, that's, you know, that's kind of how I have moved and walked in my relationships as I have walked with God since my early 20s.
Let me ask this again. This is Mark. Was there a time set that you said, okay, she's hit box 1, 2, and 3. Is there a time, either at a certain age or a certain level that you got to over a specific period of time, where you said, hey, this is the one? What made you say, as a man, this is the one versus this wasn't the one?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, when I was 28 years old, I had tried to, quote, help God out, and I had made a huge disaster in my, what I'm going to call my romantic relationships. And so I did a big step back and said, okay, God, I've learned my lesson. I can't help you. I need to let you, you know, be the one that is the instigator and the one who creates the work. And I really, and I got with God, and I had a wrestling with God experience all night long, you know, about what I needed and what I thought I wanted. And I got to that place of surrender where I said to God, Lord, I have learned my lesson. I'm going to wait for you to bring this person to me, you know, bring her in my life. And I said, I'm not going to go looking for anyone. I'm going to let it happen according to your time and your place. And honestly, when I met the person that I ended up marrying, that's exactly how it happened. She literally walked through the front door of where I live, and, you know, the biggest criteria that I was looking for, it was just jumping at me. All this, it was like popcorn, you know, all this stuff was just coming at me, and it was just really knocking me out. And finally, I got to the point, okay, God, I think this might be the person, but I need to pray. But I was too scared to pray because I didn't want to be told no. And finally, after 1 month of being around this person, and I finally said, okay, I got to know. I can't take this anymore. And so I got down on my knees, and after a couple hours of praying, the Lord started speaking to me, and God says, why are you praying? Because she's already in your life. And I mean, it just, and that's when you could have blown me over with a feather. And what I ended up doing was, you know, revealing what God had revealed to me in a conversation with that particular individual. And I says, you need to go and pray. You need to get direction from God, because I'm a firm believer that God's not going to tell me if he's not going to tell you. You know, I said, because if this is really coming from God and really where God wants us to go, then we're both going to get the same answer. You know, and so I gave the time and the space and the place for that to happen, and eventually, after several months, you know, the relationship went to that next level where we moved from being close friends to having, you know, a relationship of courtship and then engagement and ultimately marriage.
Amen. Amen.
This is James, the gentleman that just spoke. Then, were you one that was trying to follow the check in the boxes, and maybe did you find out then that it wasn't so much the check in the boxes as it was God leading you to, or leading that person to you?
Yeah, I actually think it was a little bit of both. I always check boxes whether I'm in any kind of a relationship. Is this person somebody that I really want to invest part of myself in, whether it's a friendship or whether I'm looking at a romantic relationship down the road? Is this somebody that I want to, you know, to truly be an integral part of my life? And so on some level I still do that, but I also recognize that my steps are ordered of the Lord, and I pray and I ask God to lead me and to guide me into where I need to go, into the people that you want me to be a part of my life, because I want to walk in your divine appointments, you know. And so that's kind of how I live my life from day to day, whether, you know, it's family, relationships, friendship, or that significant other relationship.
Amen. Well, does anybody else want to talk about what they perceive that dating is about for them, what their biblical premises? I've heard from Mark,
Mark, have you said yours?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, my dating...
Anybody else wants to...
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let someone else go ahead and speak.
No, go ahead. I was going to say...
Oh. Mine was a little bit different. My experience, I got married early, and I think it's really important that as we look at dating, as we look at marriage, so many of the things that we can look at as far as attributes that we want in a woman and that we need in a woman, typically we find out those things at a later age and when we've had more experience. I got married around 23 years old, and I didn't have the experience to know that, one, you probably should pray about this. You probably should wait and think about this. You probably should let actually God lead you and direct you. I'm not saying that I married the wrong woman, but when I decided to get married, I got my first job in Texas, and I had dated a lot of women, and I actually, crazy enough as it sounds, I had been flying all over the place, all the country, and I had been going from Texas to Indianapolis. And I knew that all the flights that I came back from Texas, especially going from Houston, there were extremely attractive women on the flights that I was going to. And I kid you not, this is what I said. This was a little prayer that I said, Lord, if there was a fine stewardess on this plane, then that means I'm not going to get married to this woman. And if there isn't, I'm going to get married. And I kid you not, that was my simple assessment of, okay, am I going to marry this woman or not? Not if this woman has all the attributes that I need or that I desire. All that I knew was that you know, I love this woman. She's intelligent, and I think she's going to make a good wife. That was basically it. And so that was a 23-year-old thinking that, hey, this is what marriage could be, just because I love this woman. And I prayed this prayer that in my estimation at that time as a 23-year-old was the best response for me getting married.
So this is Dr. Susie. So as I was listening, so I'm hearing that the purpose that most of the men on the line feel that they date is to get married? Or is that where everybody is? I mean, everybody dates.
Oh, no,
to get
not
married.
At all. Not at all. I mean, that was, in dating, that was not my purpose at all. My purpose for dating was to basically sow my oats, and if I happen to meet the right person, then great. And that was my purpose for dating. I really think the mindset of us as men changes over time, you know, goes from whether we're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. You know, the older you get, the more set you are in your mindset that I really want that mate that's going to make me stronger, empower who I am, who she can be, as well as, you know, start a legacy. You don't think about, you know, that as much when you're younger. Now, some of us do, but, you know, I can tell you, you know, in my younger years, I wasn't thinking about, I want to, you know, date, you know, so I can get married.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is Byron again, and I'm going to talk about I can relate, because my brother was the exact opposite of who I was. You know, my brother, we're 3 years apart in age, and when we were going through high school together, his goal was to be the player and to have as many women in his life, pass through his life, you know, and he was out to conquest every person that he could along the way. And of course, that it didn't make sense to me, because I was a one man, you know, one woman man, but for him it was more the merrier. He wanted to just have, he wanted to have as many, you know, because, and I think a lot of it has to do with the pressure of the boys' locker room when we were in gym, because you'd hear all these stories about guys who had this person and this person and this person, you know, and I think that that became, at least when I was going through school in the 70s, that became the standard, you know, who can get the most people, you know, and of course, as my brother aged, you know, when he got in his mid-20s and he started settling down and he started thinking more seriously about what kind of a pert woman do I want to spend the rest of my life with, somebody that I can, you know, grow old with, have children with, you know, and build a life together with. And I saw, and I watched him go through that transition, you know, of getting to the point where he was seriously thinking about love and marriage and not just sowing a wild oats. And so I think that, you know, for many guys, we all, many of them start out with that mentality, I'm going to go out there and play and have as much fun as I can, and then somewhere along the way, the maturity starts to come in and the shift of thinking starts to occur about, I want something that's sustainable and that's got some longevity to it.
Hey, this is Ardell Bell.
Yeah,
okay. And I think that the reason why most of us are saying about being married is because it was about on Christian terms. Now, prior, B.C., before Christ, anything went, you know, and especially at a younger age, because that's what it truly was. It was a game that you played out here, you know, until you got to understanding the love that Christ had for us and the way that things were wrote in Scripture. Then as you got older and got wiser, you see, okay, well, yes, I want to get involved with this person with the notions on being married, you know. So I think that's the reason why, that you hear a saying about marriage is because you were saying something about biblical terms on as far as a Christian.
Amen. But what we're trying to do is to realize that we have a real situation, and we want to see how the Bible speaks to life where it is. And so the reality is we have experiences that as Christian people, as everybody has said on the line, we evolve. But that was life BC and doing growth. And as we're in that process, then we have to figure out, so where are we? You know, when we start dating, are we dating to just hang out? Are we dating to relate? You know, what is our real reason for dating? We start off dating, then we move to relate, then we move to relationship. And so it was important. Go ahead.
This is Ardell again. I've been married before, and that, again, was before Christ. And now that I'm older and I'm walking this walk, I don't know if you necessarily would call it dating, but I am looking for my future to live the rest of my life with, to enjoy the fruits of the earth. You know, when you say dating, it's an intimacy there, but it has to be an intimacy in the mind. My love for God is more than the love that I have for this individual. So I definitely want to walk the walk the best way, because I'm called to lead as a man. You know, so a lot of times we get involved with women, and, you know, of course the flesh gets to speaking to us, but that's when you really have to stand strong and be that godly man. Therefore, you're showing that female that you are trying to make this walk. Now, I'm not saying that all the time you're successful, but for the most part, as long as we're focusing on Christ, then that's the most successful thing. So, you know, it's been really difficult for myself trying to find that woman of God that wants to take this walk, because at this age in the game, there's so many things that have came to play. There's so many different things that have happened to people in their lives. So, you know, it's just standing strong and just staying prayed up and just walking by faith and not by sight.
This is Brian Workfield from Louisville. have a lot of input that I want to give there. Gentleman was just speaking about walking the walk, knowing the word and living the word. I think you also have to, while you're doing that, and while you're dating, if you want to call it that, you want to make sure that the woman that you're dating is also lined up with the word, because we have women out there on their own various levels. If they come out and say while you're dating them, you're having conversation with them, you're going out to the movies and dinner and stuff like that, they'll say to you that I am this type of person or that type of person. But when you start to actually have conversation with them and talk to them, you find out that they're a whole another person. And then you start to see whether that person lines up with it. So not only do you have to be lined up with the word, you want to make sure that the woman that you're dating is also lined up in the word and is going in the same direction that you're going in. And I think that's a good reason to sort of go out with various ones to see where they're coming from. Because, I mean, I've said this before, that there are a lot of people out there, including males, they put on masks and they perceive to be someone that they're really not. And that's why I think it's important for you to get to know that person, to see where they're really coming from, and again, to see if they line up with the word and in the same direction that you're going.
And if this is victim use, I concur with my brother on that end. But I think, you know, when we look at this whole subject of dating, especially as we talk about Christian men, we have to first understand that there really is a difference between Christian dating and non-Christian dating. And so as a Christian man, I mean, our very first goal in life is to seek God, right? And so I know it sounds cliche, but as we begin to seek him, I can think about when I got married, and I was married for 27 years. You know, before being married, you know, obviously my major goal in life was to be married, and I thought I had to go through every woman. But after I got saved, I fell into a different world, a different perspective. And so my seeking became the seeking of God and seeking after the heart of God. Just like the scripture, theme scripture talks about, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will give us the desires of our hearts. And I interpret that as being, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us what to desire. And I experienced that very thing in that as I began to seek the Lord and go about his business, unbeknownst to me, he brought my wife into my life. And so and I was not even smart enough initially to recognize it, but I knew something was different. And I thought maybe it was just sin or lust. But I began to realize that it was God bringing my mate to me. So I think as we begin to seek God, we seek him with all of our heart, then all these other things are added on to us, and one of those things is that of a mate. And so then it eliminates the exercise of just going through woman by woman by woman, because God has set aside a woman for us. And that's why the scriptures declare that he that finds a wife finds a good thing. And we do that by first seeking God, is what I believe.
Amen.
Oh. Hey, Dr. B, this is Brett.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, my phone's been cutting out, but I've been listening. I think my experiences are a little bit different. I came up in a Christian family, went to church on a regular basis, but before I was baptized, I had a conflict because our pastor used to talk to those of us that were going into our teenage years. And the one thing that stuck in my mind was about wasting your seed on the ground versus having sex with a young lady or girl. And that was my problem that I went through, simply because I didn't want to disrespect myself. I didn't want to bring any shame on to my family or anything. But by the same token, I didn't want to do the wrong thing in God's eyes. And then after I started reading some things for myself, and I realized you could be forgiven for any sins that you have committed, then it made it a little bit easier for me. But before I did go to be baptized, I learned not from girls my age, this was back in the 60s, but from women that were in their 20s and 30s. I think that as a man, you have to be taught in every aspect of what it's going to take in order for you to become a man to where you can be a blessing to a woman.
Amen.
Now, once I was taught by these ladies, I exercised that in my marital relationship that I've had. Now, my very first wife, she was killed, but that was my soulmate. The next person that I married, a few years after that, I settled for her because I just figured that I would never find another soulmate. That lasted 15 years. I was going through hoops trying to be something that this person wanted to be, but then it dawned on me, I'm not making this person happy. She's not making me happy. So we divorced. Years later, I met another woman who was similar to my very first wife, and we clicked, even though she told me, she said, well, my relationships normally don't last any more than 3 or 4 months. I said, that's okay. We dated for over a year, and then we were together a total of, including us being married, we were together 9 years. And then she passed.
Amen.
So now I have been out here being single, looking for somebody to have a relationship with. The problem that I'm finding now is women in their 50s and even 60s have been so messed up by guys that have been more boy than man, have ruined them. The younger ones coming up, they are so messed up, they don't even know what they want. I got on my Facebook and I put on there that I hear women always say that they want a good man. And I ask women, please tell me, what is it specifically that you consider a good man? Do you know I got no response from that? Not one woman came forward to say what they wanted as a good man. So I think that everybody is searching for something, but they need to have some kind of direction.
Amen. One of the things that I think is really important that I've heard everybody talk about is it's a journey, and our level of maturity, of understanding our personal relationship with God changes and grows. Let me say something. Whoever is cooking or whatever, could you put your phone on mute? One of the things that is challenging is that as we go through this process of growth, we grow in the Lord. We have our relationship with the Lord that expands. And as everybody on the line has clearly said, you know, it's about our love relationship with God that extends. Once we have that vertical relationship, it manifests itself horizontally as well in the relationships that we have with people. So as we mature in the Lord, we also mature in our horizontal relationship. But I guess the question I'm wanting to ask you guys before we move over, now we don't have a whole lot of time left, but the question I want to know is, does it matter if you had that mentored for you, how to date? Do you think it mattered if you had a father or a grandfather or some male in your life that kind of model for you what that was like? Did that make a difference for those
yes,
of you
I,
who
I
did
think,
or didn't?
Yes, this is Brian from Kentucky. I think it does matter. And the way that I think it matters is, let's say we're in a scenario where there's no father and there's no uncle around. Well, that individual goes through life falling and getting up and falling and getting up. But if you have someone, a role model or somebody in your life that can share with you on how to be a man, you don't have to necessarily use everything that they're telling you, but you can use it as a template to guide you in the direction of finding the woman that is right for you. So I think it does matter.
This is Byron, and I concur with that, you know, because I know that I grew up with the very powerful presence of my father who, you know, him and my mom were married for 48-plus years until his death. And then I was also surrounded by several aunts, uncles, grandfathers, and grandmothers who also had longevity of marriage where there was 50-plus years in many people. And I saw them move through the ups and the downs, the hills and the valleys, the crises and the calmness of life. And I got a chance to witness how to love somebody in the, you know, no matter what, you know, whether they got along in this one season or whether they, you know, they were at odds in a different season. I learned from them what the word commitment and covenant meant. And, you know, and so as I became an adult, I began to seek out those types of relationships. You know, for me, I didn't want to have just any old relationship. I wanted to have something that I had witnessed and seen work. And so that was part of my journey as I walk with God. God, you've shown me what my mom and dad, how they love. You've shown me how my aunt and uncle love. You've shown me how my grandparents love. I want to have that type of godly relationship.
Okay, this is Dr. Susie. I want to say something quickly. You mentioned the word love. You mentioned the word love, and I really would like to get a definition of that because, you know, the Greek talks about four different types of love, storge, the family type love. It talks about phileo, the love of a brotherly love. It talks about eros, the intimacy love, and then it talks about agape as the highest form of love. As we talk about relationships, what does love mean to all of you? And as we close out tonight, because we're almost at 8 o'clock, what would you leave, as you give your definition of love first, what would you leave the people who are listening, young men and who are growing, trying to figure out what it means to be a Christian and what it means to date and have what it means to have a relationship, what advice would you share with them as they're partaking in the process of dating?
Well, this is Byron, and for me, it's based off of John 15, when Jesus tells everyone to love one another, and then he goes on to say, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You know, and for me, when I am in a love relationship, what that means is God has called me to serve. You know, and I know a lot of guys, you know, they want to bark orders and, you know, tell people what to do, which that may have its place at moments and times, but really we're in a partnership and we're supposed to be walking alongside one another. And so when I'm in a relationship, I want to serve that other person because in serving, then they in turn will want to serve me. And we're giving the best parts of ourselves to one another. And so that's for me. That's the kind of relationship I want. I don't want to be in a relationship where one person is the giver and the other person is the taker. I want to be in a relationship where both persons are giving all the time.
Amen. Who's next? Who's going to give the next definition?
This is Victor Mews. I think the true love is the love that, again, you know, the Corinthians 13 love. You know, that doesn't seek its own. But I think true love is always seeking ways in which to please the other or their partner. And so it's in doing so by giving of themselves. And I think most certainly in dating or in a relationship, you know, as a male, I think the male should be the one that's laying down his life, in a sense, the way Jesus did for his friend. And so my scripture would be that of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talks about seeking the kingdom of heaven. And I think in the same way we should seek that true love. And that true love, you know, a lot of times we're not going to see. I didn't see my father date my mother, but I did see my father love my mother. And just like the Jewish way of teaching, the real thing in front of the kids, the truth in front of the kids, and therefore they don't have to have a whole bunch of lies or or like the world believes, and you got to experience all these dating relationships before you can find true love or see true love. But they would give them the real thing versus the counterfeit. And once you know what the real thing is, you can just quickly recognize the counterfeit.
Amen.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Next. Who's next? Go ahead.
Amen.
Can I get in here?
Who's going to get the next step? Go ahead.
I was in a relationship, and my cousin, who I call my cousin brother, he asked me a question once about, he said, what is it like to have someone love you like that? I'm trying to touch something that came up earlier. And my answer to him was, it's a responsibility. And when I answered that, I was answering truthfully from who I am. And he looked at me in a whole new light because it was an answer he had never considered. Your relationship with this woman, just like your relationship with God, it's a responsibility. You know, you guys use the word commitment, but it's a responsibility. It, you know, you said you have people to model, and that's kind of what I think I had modeled for me, is that you understand that you can't take that person's affections for granted. And so you have your contribution, your responsibility to the relationship and to the person as well. And that's just the way I'm made. And I want to add that.
Amen.
Amen.
Is anybody else?
Yes. My name is Cheryl, and I came in late, and I apologize. But I would like to say that I've listened to the gentlemen, and I agree with a lot of what they were saying. And one of the gentlemen was saying that he was in a relationship, but he hadn't found women that were in their 50s or 60s that were, I guess, capable of loving. And he didn't say those words, but kind of, sort of. But my thing is, a woman is not capable of loving a godly man until she first loves herself. I don't know if you guys kind of talked about that, but she has to first love herself. I have been in abusive relationships, marriages, but it takes getting away with God to heal that wound, some of that those wounds that you have come to. It takes getting away with God and being with Him and learning to love yourself again, because sometimes, not just women, but men also can be beat down so badly to where they feel as though they are not of any worth. And you have to learn to know your worth, know who you are in Christ, and know that you are a child of God. Love yourself, then you can love another person. And if you can't love yourself and love God, you're not going to be able to end. You can't make another person happy because they have to already be happy within themselves. But you cannot add their happiness.
Amen. Dr. Nix, would you close us in prayer? And we thank everybody for joining us tonight. Those of you on the live, we hope you've gleaned from the expertise of the people who have shared tonight. And call us again next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. at 646-478-4932. Dr. Nix, would you start the prayer?
God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for those that shared. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence in our lives, which we need. Help us, God, to see you and to seek you as we try to have good relationships with other people. Help us to love ourselves. And God, help us to understand that you loved us even beyond anything that we could possibly do wrong, any mess-ups we've had in our lives, that you still love us. And God, we seek your guidance and your strength, and we ask you to bless those that are on the line, touch all of their lives. Help us, God, to reach out to you and to reach out to others. Help us to share the love with others that you have shared with us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer,
love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Thanks, everybody.
Amen.